brought to you by Aspen Avionics, whose Evolution flight display is a flexible and upgradable PFD, MFD, and hazard awareness solution for general aviation aircraft. At Aspen, we design products to be affordable, upgradable, easy to install, and easy to own. And by Aviation Insurance Resources. Talk to pilots who value your airplane even before they insure it. Call 877-247-7767 or visit air-pros.com today.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb from AirVenture 2012. I'm with Michael Kraft of Lycoming Engines. Michael, you just gave us a briefing on something we've suspected for a while, which is that anti-detonation injection is finding its way into the market after a fashion, at least in military technology. And for our listeners, anti-detonation injection is a means of injecting water to make up for our octane shortfalls. So tell us a little about how that technology is working in the Northrop Grumman Firebird and why it's working and the likelihood of it coming into commercial GA.
So I guess, first of all, Paul, anti-detonation injection is not anything new. It was pioneered back in World War II. It's found on the big Pratt & Whitney's that you have on the DC-3s and DC-6s. And you're correct, it's a means of injecting a fluid into the induction air. It cools the induction air down. Nice cool air, you get greater detonation margin. So you either can turn that into increased horsepower or you can take that into decreased octane requirement. In terms of John Sharp's airplane a few years ago, we turned it into increased horsepower. In terms of Firebird application, we're using it to compensate for less than 100 LL quality in a variety of applications that the Northrop Grumman Firebird may see.
And we should clarify that the Firebird is a scale composite design, I think, for Northrop, meant to be a military drone autonomous, if I'm not mistaken.
It's one of Burt Rutan's last designs out of scaled composites on that. It is an optionally piloted vehicle, so you actually have a man in the cockpit that allows this aircraft to transition through controlled airspace, and then the cameras are essentially run on the ground. Likewise, they can take over control from the ground, and it becomes a remotely piloted vehicle with a man in the cockpit running sensors.
Now, Lycoming signed on to the ADI here. One reason is that the aircraft itself has pretty sophisticated automation. So the engine talks to the airplane and vice versa, and that gives you certain advantages. What are they?
One of the advantages is that you actually have your airplane can fly itself, or the flight control computer is flying the aircraft, giving throttle commands to the engine, everything. If you have a problem with a person in the cockpit or you need to bring it down, there literally is a auto land feature. It brings it down, controls throttle and navigational items. So it's one of the items that you get in terms of moving to, we won't call it FADEC, but digital engine controls. You enable the communications between autopilot systems and engine systems, which if you translate that to what could be a very significant safety feature development in general aviation, you had the parachute, which was one thing, you have autopilot, which is certainly another thing. Now you get into a point where you actually could have the aircraft in terms of incapacitated pilot or a pilot who becomes no longer able to control the aircraft, move it over and have it actually come down. That's not immediately available, but this is the kind of technology that you're seeing in UAS, and there's no reason to not anticipate that that'll migrate itself into general aviation sometime.
Okay, and we'll segue that into a discussion of UL-91, which is being distributed in Europe, not in the U.S., and Lycoming has recently introduced a lot of new approvals for this fuel, but you don't see it as a solution for overall solution for the U.S., not a replacement for 100 UL.
No, UL-91 is certainly not a replacement for 100 LL or UL-100. It's a full 9 Mon lower. It is not going to be a fleet-wide solution. It is a controlled fuel with a commodity specification. It actually, what we see happening in Europe, it actually, in some countries, is actually less expensive than the MoGas that they have at the airport, not because of any production costs, but because of the way it's taxed in certain countries. So it is a very significant development in Europe. It's significant because the producers actually started putting it on the airfield, and then consumers started using it. EASA started approving it. So it's priming the pump for an unleaded avgas transition on a broader basis. It is a good solution for some folks within countries in the EU. Whether it's a good solution for the UK or France or Germany is larger. You can see it's tax dependent. Their taxes there are tremendously higher than what we face. And in some cases, UL-91 is a more economic solution than using either 100 LL or MoGas in some places.
So the UL approvals, 91 UL approvals in Europe, serve as a template. EASA certainly got it through somewhat painlessly. Could the same thing happen in the U.S.?
I would hope that if a producer decides to go do that, and they certainly could in the U.S., that we could see a similar proactive stance from the FAA in doing that. EASA did not do this lightly. I mean, they don't, you know, a regulatory agency does not make these broad-based approvals lightly. If there was a movement within the U.S. to have UL-91 produced, distributed, and those aren't lightly taken words, I would hope that we could also see a proactive stance from the FAA in terms of that. That's unprecedented policy, but it's what we need for a larger unleaded avgas transition in any case, so we need to get to that task.
Okay, well, thanks very much for the update, Michael.
Thank you, Paul.
We've been speaking with Michael Kraft, who's General Manager of Lycoming. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from AirVenture 2012. Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by Avidyne. As a slide-in replacement for the popular 430 Navigators, the IFD 440 from Avidyne is the latest in next-generation, easy-to-use FMS GPS navcoms. Now the IFD 440 offers you a choice, and the choice is Avidyne. And by Bendix King, where we are working to make the pilot's job easier by developing products around safe, simple, and confident operations. Visit us at BendixKing.com to see what's new in our product line.